I've got a message on my heart. Man, the Lord's been squeezing this message around in there all week, churning it around. I started somewhere else last night and because it's a difficult scripture. It's a scripture that I guess I've read before, but didn't really come to fully understand it or even appreciate it. But then the Lord kept bringing me back to it. And just because it's a hard scripture don't mean that I'm supposed to skip it, especially if God said preach it. So that's what we're going to do. The book of 1 Samuel chapter number 28 is where we'll be this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 28. And let me just say, I'll call your attention. You don't have to get your bulletin back out. But while you've got your bulletin, I want you to take it home and make a note of something. On the inside fold on the left-hand side, under the September anniversaries, there's one in there that's kind of notable. Some of you are laughing because you've already seen it. James and Megan Mollico are celebrating their one day anniversary. Would y'all stand up? Stand up. I'm thankful that you have chosen to start your marriage out right here in the Lord's house. If you stay with that, your marriage will prosper. Your family will be blended together. And God will prosper you. God will bless you. I'm not talking about prospering you financially. He'll prosper you spiritually. That those kids, they'll each one be able to say, he knows my name. Go ahead. Are you getting ready to sit down or say something? How many of you here today know somebody or have even tried yourself to do it your way? Guilty. Guilty as charged. Why? Because we know. We know better. We know the right way. We know how to be Baptist. We know right where as it is when the gospel singers, if you watch Peg McCamey sing, Peg McCamey going to take off her shoes at the same place in every song, every time. You say, is that right or wrong? That's between Peg McCamey and the Lord. But I'm saying she knows what it takes. You know what it takes to be a Baptist. You know what it takes to come in here, to put on the good clean suit and the good looking tie. You know what it is to go through the things that matter and to act that way. Brother Gwen, we can act holy enough to keep mom and daddy off our backs. We can act holy enough that preacher that lives across the way, he won't come knocking every Sunday. It'll be every third or fourth week that he'll come and say, hey, I'd love to see you get up and go to the house of God. And you know what? He knows you're going, but what he'll do is just enough to make it to where you stay off his back. Let me say, the Bible says that our ways are not God's ways. Well, no, they're not. And God's ways are much higher than our ways. So as soon as we think we've got it all figured out, as soon as we think we know the end from the beginning, we got it all tightly, we got it wrapped up, Brother Varun. I mean, it's so fitly framed together. We put a pretty bow on it and we present it to the world. Here is Mark J. Hall. Here is Varun Patel, parts manager at NASCAR. Super duper, knows everything inside and out about a car. Hey, he can put his mouth on your muffler and rewire the engine, redo the wings. I'm talking about that boy knows what he's doing when it comes to cars. So you finally arrived. Inventor. I'm talking about a great man. You look through the pews. There's Brother Kenny Anderson. Boy, he's arrived. 36 plus year pastor. Man, you have arrived. Brother Gwen pastored and preached in Wilkes County, North Carolina for above 50 years. You finally made it to somewhere. You're somebody. You have finally arrived. My friends, when we get to that point, we're going to be preaching about Saul today. If you don't know that, I'm talking about King Saul. Not Saul that was of the New Testament that later became Paul. But I'm preaching about King Saul. Israel, as you know, wanted a king. They want to be like everybody else. They're tired of the period of judges. The judges were ruling. Some ruled well, some didn't rule well. Some kings ruled well, some kings didn't rule well. And we could roll that fast forward and say some in our administrations don't do too well. Some of them do pretty good. If they had more to work with, they might do even better. But sometimes the people don't support them. Other parties don't support them. But some of them do well, some of them don't do well. But King Saul was the one. Let me tell you, God did not call a weak first king. Are you hearing me? God did not call some flimsy, whimsy little pansy for the first king. He chose a man that was head and shoulders above the others. He chose an honorable man. He chose the man that could get the job done. And whenever he chose Saul, like I said, he wasn't choosing some weakling. He chose a man that could step up to the plate and be the first king of Israel. And God blessed him. God's hand was all over Saul. And you can go back and see that how he became to be the first king. It was through the horn of the oil of a man by the name of Samuel that King Saul was anointed to be the king. And you can go back and read the story of Eli, and you can go back and read the story of Peninnah and Hannah. You can go back and read that story about Hannah's womb was barren, and we can find out where Samuel came along. Samuel was a great prophet in the land. But it was at the very horn of oil that Samuel anointed Saul to become the king. It seems like Saul did pretty good for a while. Don't that sound about right, Tam? They do pretty good for a while. They come in here and we see them Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Then all of a sudden we don't see them on Wednesday night. Then we see them on Sunday morning, but we don't see them on Sunday night. And they seem to be doing pretty good, but then you don't see them but every second Sunday. Then you don't see them every third Sunday. And then you find out Brother Kenny was right when he was preaching what he was preaching in the Sunday school class this morning, or teaching in our Sunday school class this morning. What they did, they took on more indebtedness than they could pay off, because their eyes got to looking at the things of the world. And because the neighbor got a new four-wheeler, they had to go get a boat. Because they got a boat, the neighbor got a camper. Because the camper got this, they bought a house and on the mountain and one at the beach too. And the next thing you know, they can't afford anything. So what they're doing, they're working Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, going to their boss asking for a little OT. Give me some overtime so I can pay off all this stuff. As soon as I get all this stuff paid off, I'm going to start going to church again. My friends, you're messing up. Well, preacher, every time I come down there, you're preaching something I don't like. Boy, that's too bad for you. Because I'm not going to change preaching. I'm not going to stop preaching what thus saith the word of God. You know what people do whenever they don't like what's coming from the book board? They do one of two things, and I'm telling you the God's honest truth. If they don't like what's coming out of the pulpit, they do one of two things. They change churches, or they change pastors. It's one of two things going to happen. Now, wouldn't it be a whole lot better if they just changed the rotten carnal heart that's inside of their chest and get that thing right with a thrice holy God and get that thing settled, and then they can come in here and worship the Lord? Because I promise you, there's enough honorable, there's enough faithful, there's enough holy, devout men of God around here that if this little know-nothing preacher gets out of that book, somebody's going to set me straight. I promise you. There's enough Anderson boys. There's enough people in here in these pews that have been around the preached word of God long enough to know that if I'm telling you the truth or not. And they don't just sit here and sit quietly if I err from the scriptures. I hope that you wouldn't. You would tell me, preacher, we need to talk. You preach this in an errant manner. We need to square this thing up because you're going to mislead the people in that. Let's read our scriptures today. 1 Samuel chapter number 28. Y'all pray for my voice today. I called for an allergy pill. Next thing I know, I've got a box of Claritin, a box of Benadryl, and 13 other pills. Don't ask anybody around here for medicine, especially a nurse. Tammy went somewhere and come back with a medicine cabinet. Dot sent me a box of Kleenexes, and I just need to stop coughing, okay? So if y'all just say, Lord bless him while he's trying to preach, that'll be enough for me. And I'll try to keep my whistle wet. And I don't know if it's ragweed or what it is, if it's a cold. I think I may have had a touch of a cold. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's just settled in my voice as it always does. But guess what, Brother Gwen? We'll either swallow it or preach it out one. How about that? 1 Samuel chapter number 28. Everybody there say amen. Amen. The title of my message today, you're not going to get around God. Are you hearing me? You're not going to get around God. A lot of people try it. Just a few weeks back, Brother Kenny and I had a tag team service on a Sunday morning. I give you kind of a glimpse of this same message, but it was out of a different passage of scripture, and it was about how that God had told Abraham and Sarah that you're going to be fruitful and you're going to have the blessings of many children. You're going to be the father of many nations. But Sarah was barren and she had no children. So you know that story very well. I said, you ain't going to get around God. So what they did in their mind, they said, well, hey, we got this handmaiden. Her name is Hagar. Just take her. And you know that story. It did not work then in God's way. It did not work in their favor, and it's not going to work for you. It did not work. It will not work. It will never work when you try to get around God. You've got to just front it. I measure up to God, get right in, get right with God. And when you get right with God, I mean, get right with Him. I'm talking about getting right with Him in the altar, getting right close to Him. And when you get right with Him, I'm talking about getting right up close to Him and let His word do a work in your heart. You know what you'll end up doing? You'll end up getting right with Him.
Right.
If you get right with Him, you will get right with Him. 1 Samuel chapter 28, and it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Now I want you to hear these next few verses. Now Samuel was dead. Did y'all hear what I just said? That Samuel is dead. You would go back to chapter 25 of the book of 1 Samuel. If you want to turn back two pages, you can find that. Chapter 25 and verse number 1 said, Samuel died. And I want you to see that Samuel is dead. That's important. In verse 25, chapter 25, verse 1, Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in the house of Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. So I'm going back to chapter 28 now. So it says, now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put those... And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all together, Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Mark verse number 6, and hear it well. The Bible said that the Lord answered him not. You said, what's the importance of that? Go back with me to chapter 16 of the book of 1 Samuel. Chapter 16 of the book of 1 Samuel. I'm right in 1 Samuel. Chapter 16, and look at verse number 14. Chapter 16 and verse 14 says, the Spirit of the Lord departed Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Are y'all with me? There is a reason that God did not hear Saul. There is a reason that God did not answer Saul. So we go back to that sixth verse, and it said, and Saul inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath familiar spirits, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit in Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. Why in the world would the king go to a witch by night? Because namely, he's the king. He knows that he has been defunct. He has been dethroned. The spirit's gone. He's talking to God. God's not answering him. And he's already put away the familiar spirits. As the king, he's done away with all that junk. He put away the sorcery. He put away that. Even back a few pages, he even declared that the witchery and that witchcraft back over in the book of the 15th chapter in verse number down through 19 through 24, it said that witchcraft is as the sin. Let me go back and get it. I'm going to misquote a scripture here. That It says in verse number 23 that rebellion is as the sin. I'm in the 15th chapter 23. That rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is in the iniquity and idolatry. You say, why are you bringing that up? Because it was Saul's own rebellion and own personal agenda that got him out of fellowship with the thrice holy God. This thing that's in my voice is going to aggravate me. Y'all pray through it. The Bible then said that Saul disguised himself and he went at night to see this witch. And he said, I pray thee. He ain't talking to God and God ain't hearing him. And God's refusing to answer him. So now what's he doing? He's going to a witch and he goes to her and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit and bring him up that I may, that I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done. How that he hath cut off those, and you remember she's talking to Saul, but Saul is in disguise. The woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, and how that he hath cut off those familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore that then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? She's like, are you just trying to trick me that the king's going to kill me? If he found out that I'm still practicing witchcraft, if he found out that you've come to me wanting me to conjure something up for you, you're going to get me killed. And it said in Saul, verse number 10, swear to her by the Lord, saying. Now, isn't that amazing that the Spirit of God withdrew himself from Saul, but he's still swearing by the Lord? That's amazing to me that people can get out so far in sin, but they still want to present themselves in the pulpit. They get out in sin, but still want to present themselves at church. Still want to brag on Jesus a little bit. Still want to sing in the choir a little bit. Let me tell you, you're not fooling God, and you're not going to get around God. God's not mocked by all of that. Saul swear to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. Saul's asking for the spirit of Samuel. Saul's asking to talk to the old man of God again. Why didn't you listen to him when you had him? I could ask you that question today. Why do people refuse the word of God when it's coming from the pulpit of God, from the word of God, and you say, I don't want that, and you refuse that? Someday you're going to miss the old man of God. Someday you're going to want him back. Someday you're going to wish you'd go talk to Brother Cecil Hooper or Feldman. Someday you're going to say, boy, I wish old preacher Mark was still around. I wish that old preacher Kenny was back around. I wish that Brother Gwen was back around. Boy, I sure could talk to him right now. Saul said, man, I'd love to hear from Samuel. Here's what he's told the witch. I'm going somewhere. I know got you standing. We'll go quick once we get there. The introduction's longer than the message. Verse number 11, he said, bring me up Samuel. The woman saw Samuel. She cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, what hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God ascending out of the earth. He said unto her, what form is he of? In other words, who'd you see? What did you just witness? See, Saul didn't have that ability. God revealed it to that witch. She's conjuring up demons. Let me tell you, if you're messing with demonology today, best God, you're waiting on a fortune cookie. You're waiting on some horoscope. Best God, you better be careful because you're getting into witchery. People get into tarot cards and all this other form of demonology. And I'm telling you, that's going to hurt you. You better stay close to God. Then you won't have to conjure up something from the depths of hell or anywhere else. The Bible said, y'all all right? Amen. Y'all good back here? Amen. All right. We're going to preach in a minute. And the king said unto her, be not afraid for what thou sawest. The woman said, I saw God ascending out of the earth. He said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. Do you remember what happened back over in chapter number 14? Whenever Samuel comes back unto Saul and says, what is this meaning of the bleeding of the sheep in mine ear? And what is all of this? The Bible said that Samuel rent his mantle. It sorely displeased him that how that Saul, being anointed to king, had just totally in rebellion refused God. It said, what form is he? And he said, and Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and he bowed himself. Now y'all see why I said this is a strange message. Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me? Wait a minute. Samuel said to Saul, wait a minute. Back up in verse number 3. What's it say? Samuel is dead. The spirit of Samuel has now said this to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me. God has departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." I want you to hear verse number 16, because this is my text verse for this whole message. "Then said Samuel, then said Pastor Mark, then said Preacher Kenny, then said Preacher Gwen, then said your holy daddy, then said your righteous mama, then said Samuel, wherefore then doest thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and has become thine enemy?" You say, what does that mean? Let me read it again. "Then said Samuel, wherefore then doest thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and has become thine enemy?" You say, put that in layman's terms. Why are you asking me? Why are you asking me what the problem is, knowing in your own heart you just told me that the Lord's not answering you? You just told me that the Lord has departed from you, and then you conjure me up to ask me to do something. Why are you asking me? I'm not the one that you should be going to. Bless God, people run to the preacher. They go to the little booth and slide the door back. "Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned." They open the door back, go back, do the same thing they've been doing forever and ever. My friends, that's not going to fly with a thrice holy God. It's just not going to. Brother Kippy, bless our scripture reading. All right, I ain't lost anybody yet, have I? So I want you to hit this just a few minutes. The life of King Saul was a glorious life starting out. On the onset, I mean, they wanted a king. God chose Saul. And like I said, he was a mighty king. He was a man of valor early on. And he ruled well for a while. About 2 years in, though, it started going south for him. Why? Because he got the big head. He started thinking more highly of himself than he should. And whenever he started doing that, God started taking a dim look on who he had appointed to be the king. And the Bible even says back over here in one of the earlier chapters that, and I'm just going to read it. I'd rather read it to you than misquote it again. The Bible said that it repented the Lord that he had ever appointed Saul to be the king. And you don't want God upset because he hath chosen you to do a work. As a lot of preachers started out really well, and they run well for a while. And next thing you know, Brother Gwen, money got to them. Maybe some errant love affair started up. And I can take you down that road and show you people in my own life, as Robbie and Ryan can. There's people that stood in the pulpits of this land, even in this pulpit. There's people on my marriage certificate that one time honored God and ruled well and lived well. But bless God, they got off on some other trail. And because of that, they dishonored God. And then God withdrew his hand from them. And bless God, it's not the same after that happened. You don't run to me and say, "Why is God mad at me?" Bless God, if the Bible said and Saul said it, that God's quit hearing me. God stopped listening to me. And the Bible even said that he said in the latter part of 15 that the Lord God has departed from me. Let me tell you really quickly, when God departs from you and God leaves you alone, it's going to be you and God that gets that thing right again. It won't be between me and you and God. It might be between me and you and God, because God gives me a message and I stand up here gun barrel straight and preach it to you and tell you, "Thus saith the word of God." And then God might do the pricking. God might do the business. But when you get it right with God, it'll be between you and God. It won't be between the three of us. He's not going to consult with me and say, "I want to do a work in Ben's heart. I'm wanting to do a work over here in Preston's heart. Preacher, would you help them?" He might give me a message, but he don't say, "You go to Ben," or "You go to this one or that one." He said, "You preach the word of God." He said, "I'll do the work in those lives that need to be changed." I want you to think about some of these things. David's in flight. Why? Because he's now been the anointed, or the appointed. Is that right? Or, yeah, I got that right. God had withdrew his hand from Saul. And the same horn of oil that goes down to the house of Jesse has now anointed David to be the king. David has been anointed, but he has not yet been appointed. He's not arisen to the throne just yet. And Saul is jealous. David has killed tens of thousands. Saul's killed thousands, but David has killed tens of thousands. And that's how that displeased this man that's called the king. It just made him upset. And he started doing things that dishonored God. Let me just say really quickly, or we're going to go fast forward here because I got a whole lot to preach in a short amount of time. Saul decides, even after he had blessed the land and said, I'm kicking out all the sorcery, the witchcraft. There's not going to be any more of that junk around here. I'm getting rid of all of them. Where did he go after the Lord withdrew himself? He went straight to the junk that he tried to get rid of. And my friends, if you get away from God and God withdraws his hand from you, you know what you're going to do? You're going to go right to the junk that you one time confronted, right to the junk that you one time preached against, right to the junk that you one time tried to get out from under. And that's what Saul did. Saul said, I'm getting away from that junk. There ain't going to be no more sorcery in the land. There's not going to be any more witchcraft. But the next thing you know, Saul's gone. The Lord's gone away from Saul. And then what's he do? He goes right back to that. There's a reason they call them familiar spirits. He went back to that junk because it was familiar. Let me tell you, God is omniscient. We hit this the other night in our study of the Wednesday night doctrinal series. God is omniscient. What did omniscient mean? All-knowing. Do you know in this walk of life, your boss is not all-knowing? Do you realize your king today is not all-knowing? Obama was not all-knowing. Trump is not all-knowing. Our Governor Cooper is not all-knowing. Your coach at the high school is not all-knowing. Your mama is not all-knowing. Your daddy is not all-knowing. Your pastor is not omniscient. We don't know these things. You say, well, give us an illustration, preacher. Okay, here comes little Ben. Can I use you, Ben, or you may use little Varun? I'll use little Varun. No, you can be my son. He couldn't be mine. Little Ben comes to daddy and says, Daddy, I want to spend the night with Preston tonight. And daddy knows down in his heart, he's not omniscient, but he knows that boy's been in and out of trouble. Ever since the day he come out of the womb, he's been trouble. He's into everything. He's been on every juvenile detention center list. He's in and out of trouble. But Ben said, I like Preston. That's my buddy. Me and him's going to do something this evening. Daddy, can I go spend the night with Preston? And daddy says, no, you can't. But daddy, me and Ben are good friends. Me and Preston are good friends. No, I said no. Why not, daddy? Because he's been in and out of trouble, and I don't want you messing around with that. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron, but that's going to dumb you down. That's going to cause you hurt if you run around with him. He's going to bring you back. He's going to bring you to a point you don't need to be in. I said no. You can stay here this evening. You can help your mama. Boy, that's a lot of fun. What'd you say? I said, okay, I'll be glad to. That's what I thought you said, and you better be here when I get back. You see where this is going? Mama, daddy's not omniscient. Mama don't know what daddy said because mama wasn't there when daddy said. So what does Ben do? He's folding laundry. He's washing dishes. He's mowed the grass. He's dusted everything in the house. You could take a white glove and you could do that and everything's perfect. And mama says, I want to thank you, Ben. You have really helped me today. You folded two loads of laundry. You washed the dishes. You've dusted everything in the house. I want to thank you for helping me around the house. Your daddy's going to be glad because you mowed the yard. Everything looks good. Ben, thank you. You're welcome, Mama. Oh, by the way, Mama, can I go spend a night with Preston? Honey, as hard as you worked around here, far be it for me to say no. Get on out of here. You and Preston have a good time. Now, you see what I just did? I just did work around daddy. Because mama don't know what daddy said. And when I just did the end run around daddy, guess what? Daddy said, you better be here when I get home. When daddy gets home, guess what? You ain't there. You're over there at his house after I said not to. You know what that has just done to me and you and our relationship? Do y'all see what I'm preaching about? This Samuel that's conjured up, he said, why are you asking me? You and God are the one that had the problem because you fell out with Almighty God. He chose you to be the king. He raised you up. He blessed you. He had his hand on you. And bless God, you kept trying to do a workaround. You kept trying to gain the stuff by filthy lucre. You didn't kill King Agag and destroy all the Amalekites. You didn't do what God said to do. And he withdrew his spirit from you. you. You disobeyed him time and time and time again. And now you're coming to me to ask me what to do. And you want me to work around my God? I can't work around Daddy.
Yes.
You can't.
Right.
There's a lot of you children here know who to go to. You know how the workaround works. And I give it to you in a little earthly point because you can work around Daddy or you can work around Mama. You work around these things because you know how to get it done. You know how to be manipulative. Your kids did it. My kids did it. Every kid does it. Why? Because they have their own desires. Saul said, I'm going to just do what I want to do. And then he goes to see the witch. While that might work with Mom and Daddy, and while that might work on the coach, do you realize that he runs the 440? And you realize, though, Coach, that he's been bad mouthing you in the locker room? He don't even like you, Coach. He don't even like what you're doing, Coach. Next thing you know, you tried an end round around the coach, and the coach said, "Yeah, Jake's been running his mouth about me. Jake, you can sit this game out tonight." What are you talking about, Coach? I didn't do anything. Next thing you know, somebody's trying to end game. And that little boy that was working around got you benched for doing nothing, and yet he got promoted. He got exalted. Yeah, don't that sound a little bit like Lucifer? He said, I'll exalt myself. But God, you're not going to get above God, and you're not going to work around God. But God, you got to go to God and through God, through the blood of the Lamb, if you're going to get to heaven. You ain't going to work your way around. It ain't going to work out for you. It didn't work on your coach. It ain't going to work on your boss. It ain't going to work on your parents. It ain't going to work on your teacher. And it's surely not going to work with God. You come to the preacher all day long and say, Preacher, God's departed from me. He ain't answering me anymore. What should I do? Look at verse number 16. Wherefore, then do you, why are you asking me? And you realize people have been doing this since time began. People have been doing this since time began. They don't like what the pastor says, so what do? They find them another pastor. They don't like what the church stands for, so they find them another church. They don't like what the King James Bible says, so what do? They get them a different version. They don't like what the dress standard. I don't like that dress standard up there, so what do? They find them another church that has no standards. That's what they do. What are they doing whenever they say, I don't like those standards, or I don't like that Bible, I don't like that preacher, I don't like that preaching? Brother Tim, what they're doing, say, I'm going to find me a way around God. I'm going to work around God. Samuel said, why are you asking me? You know what God's got in store for you. You know what the Lord has told you. So I'm begging you parents today, raise your kids according to the precepts of the book. Stop looking for other and easier ways. I'm going to give you really quickly just a few things. Verse number 6, chapter 28, verse number 6. Saul inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him not. Neither by dreams, nor Urim, nor by the prophets. Saul inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him not. Don't we all get there from time to time? You know what that caused him? It caused him great distress. His life becomes so distressed that, brother, I got to do something. You said he wasn't under distress. Then why'd he go to the witch whenever he said there ain't going to be any more witchery here? Why would he go to a soothsayer? Why would he go somewhere to conjure up demons? Why would he conjure up something from the dead, Brother Robbie? Why would he do that if he wasn't in a great measure of distress? He was greatly distressed. And that's what people do whenever the Spirit of the Lord departs from them, Brother Tim. They get greatly distressed. How many of you here love the Lord today? Say amen.
Amen.
How many of you love fellowship with the Lord? Amen.
Amen.
How many of you would be like Samson, though, because of the loose living, the wayward living, the loose talking, the loose living? How many of you would it take that you would jump up like Samson did aforetime and shake yourself and wist not that the Lord had departed from you? How many of you wouldn't even know that the Lord's gone? I hope none of you. Samuel knew it. Samson didn't know it. If you remember, Samson got up and flexed his great strength, and he wist not that the Lord had departed. Saul knew that. Saul knew the Lord had withdrew his spirit. I'm telling you what, you walk through bulls and you walk through enemy camps, brother. You're a king of kings. And all of a sudden now, things looks a little different. Why? Because you're not walking with the wind of God blowing behind you.
Amen.
Now you're not walking in his might. You're walking in John's might. And I'm telling you what, you don't think that'll cause you great distress? You better believe that it will. Not only was Saul great distress in verse number 6, but we'll read on down just a little bit further. In verse number 8, the Bible said, and Saul disguised himself. You can let me tell you something. You can change your appearance. You can change your clothes. You can come in here looking like a gutter rat one day, next thing come in a three-piece suit, dressed up, cleaned up, smelling good, haircut, groomed, and still be just as lost as a ball in high weeds. Amen. You better believe you can. You can be just as lost as a goose in a hailstorm. Saul disguised himself. How many people are sitting on our pews today? Look what it said. Saul disguised himself. He put on other raiment and he went two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. Let me tell you, my friends, my God, you can try to disguise yourself, but God still knows you. You didn't change in God's eyes. You're either lost Bill or saved Bill. Period. That's the end of the story. You're saved or you're lost. But a lot of people try to disguise themselves, fit into cracks. I'll go over here as a disguised man. I've said it myself. I don't wear a lot of shorts around. I did the other day over here for something. Everybody makes fun of my legs. There's nothing written in the scripture says I can't wear shorts, okay? I just don't do it much. For one, I don't want all you women lusting. And another thing, I just don't wear shorts much. But you know what, Brother Kenny, if I'm away from here at the beach or something, you know what I find that it's easier for me to do? It's easier for me to put on a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. You know why? Because nobody knows that I'm a preacher down there. Nobody knows down there that I'm a pastor. But you know what, Brother Tim? God still knows. He still knows exactly who I am and where I am. And I didn't really, you listen, y'all wouldn't be lusting. That was a little joke. You see these things, it's about like Tam riding a chicken in here. Nobody's laughing. I mean, nobody's lusting. They're more laughing. But Saul was distressed. So what did he do? He said, I'll just try to disguise myself that nobody knows that the king of the land is going to a witch. So he puts on clothes, hides his countenance, changes his way, changes his look. Even the witch didn't know who he was. She comes in wanting him to divine some spirits of him. She said, wait a minute, you're setting me up. The king said not to do this, and you're setting me up to get killed. And then he said, I ain't going to do it. I swear I ain't going to do it. Look what, it's in the scriptures. I'm not making anything up. Verse number 14 said, and the woman saw Samuel cry with a loud voice. I may have missed it down through there. Verse number 10 said, and Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment. She said, wait a minute here. Who are you? Said, you're Saul. Look what happens. Saul is not only distressed and disguised himself, but he becomes greatly deceived. And I've got to go over here to the New Testament. We're a New Testament church. I want to pull this thing in. We're going to close here in just a couple minutes. I'm not going to keep you much longer. Go with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I think some of you in here today may be deceived. You said, how am I deceived, preacher? This plate comes around every week, does it not? Brother, what's that for? That's for our tithes and offerings. But to some of you, you know what that's become, Brother Derek? A means for a sin covering. Oh, yeah. Brother knows what I'm talking about. That becomes a token for a covering. Yes. What I'm going to do, I messed up. Put a little on the plate. That'll make everything better. I think there's people here today that are deceived. Look what the Bible says. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Let me find where I want to start reading. I'll just start reading verse number 1. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, neither by letter from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for the day that shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above that is called God, and is worshipped so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And this is Paul to the church at Thessalonica. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan and all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, hear me and hear me well, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believe not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. My friends, there's going to come a time when God himself will send the strong delusion. You say, well, I'm deceived already. How's it going to be in the latter day when the Lord sends the strong delusion? And that man, Brother Tim, is not going to get saved now. He's turned him over to a reprobate mind. He's not going to deal with it anymore. And he sent them a strong delusion that they're going to start following that junk. Yes. Even the junk that Saul would go and fall himself and bow himself down before. Witchery, sorcery, witchcraft, demonology. Everything else that somebody could conjure up in this life. I want something prayed down from God out of heaven. I don't want something conjured up from the dead. You said, well, God used Samuel, an apparition, a medium, if you will. He used the spirit of Samuel to speak to Saul. Sure he did. He used a burning bush too, didn't he? He used a talking donkey, didn't he? That's God. God can use what God wants to use. Yeah. And he'll use it today if he has to use some little illiterate redneck from Wilkes County tobacco patch in Thurman, North Carolina, to come up here and tell you that you don't get around God. You're not going to get around him. You're not going to have some end game, end work around. You're not going to do it. It's not going to work. Back into 2 Samuel, Saul is dead. 2 Samuel chapter 31. 2 Samuel chapter 31. Where am I going? 2 Samuel chapter number 31. Second Samuel chapter 31. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell down slain in the Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines, I want you to understand something, and I want you to understand it well. David did not kill King Saul. God handed David at least two times into his hand. God handed Saul into David. But David recognized him as the king. David recognized him as a man of God. He recognized him as an anointed of the Lord. He recognized him that the God that saved him and anointed him to be the future king was the same God that anointed King Saul to be the king. David didn't kill him. It was the enemies of God that killed him. David, he had every means to kill him. He had many opportunities to kill him. But that shows you the character of God's heart, in David's heart in God. He said, I'm not going to touch God. I'm not going to touch thine anointed. Oh, no. But what happened was this. Whenever Samuel said, what are you coming to me for? And you'd have to read on down through there just a little bit. Verse number 16, Samuel said, wherefore thou come to me, seeing that the Lord had departed from thee and has become thine enemy. And the Lord hath done to him as he had spake by me, for the Lord hath rent his kingdom out of his hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. That's verse number 17. You say, well, how's that going to happen, seeing he's still alive? He ain't alive too much longer. I just had you turn over 2 Kings chapter 31, and here's what it said. The Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon the sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Meshua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword, and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took his sword and fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his own sword. You say, what's that all about? It's about taking a man that God had his hand on. Talking about a man. And I could take you earlier in the scriptures for time's sake. This is a long message anyway. For time's sake, Saul was a man that God had used and promoted to be what the people wanted. God listened to them and he gave them. But man, he disobeyed God. And then he comes to the man of God, to Samuel, even in an apparition, even in a medium, even in a spirit. And Samuel said, why are you coming to me? You've got to get this thing right with God. That's what he's saying. I'm summarizing. You've got to get this thing worked out with God. Who am I? Well, you're the man of God. You're the one that anointed me. You're the one that took the horn of oil and poured it on my head. You're the one that God sent to me. You were the chosen one. He said, why are you coming to me? You better get along with God and work this thing out. But God's not hearing me. Maybe he's not hearing you because you're not praying the right prayer. As we stand and Miss Macy comes, when you go to God, if you've got sin in your life, you know what ought to be the first thing off your tongue? Father, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Do you know why that he's not hearing? The Bible said that if I regard iniquity in 66 and 18 of the book of Psalms, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Behold, 59 and 1 and 2 of the book of Isaiah. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But listen at this scripture. It says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So you come to the preacher. You go to the pastor. Pastor, I could look at you just like he did in the 16th verse and say, what are you coming to me for? Can I forgive sin? You disobey God, you got to take it up with God. If I wrong you, Preacher Kenny, you think I'm going to run over to Derek and say, I wrong Brother Kenny, Derek, will you get him to forgive me? Or will you forgive me on his account? I got to go to Kenny. If I wrong you, it's got to be between me and you, Brother Gwynn. If I wrong you, Brother Gwynn, I'm sorry, brother.
Yes, sir.
I said something that probably hurt you, and I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? It's got to be between you and it's got to be between you and God. If you violate God's word, Brother Kenny, you got to take it up with God.
That's right.
Preacher, I want you to help me. I've sinned. Have you talked to God about it? Well, no, I thought I'd come to you first. What are you coming to me for? Go to God. You're not going to get around him. Miss Macy's playing Bow Your Heads, church. We don't need to sing. Most time when Brother Scott comes up, it's a solo anyway. Somebody here today says, I've been trying to get around God. I've been trying the end game. I've been working around. I've been trying to flank from the outside. I'm going to run some 3-5 out of the backfield. I'm going to try to one-up God. I'm going to get around him. That ain't going to work. You got to go right to him. Somebody today that will be willing to come and say, I've been trying my best to get around this. It looks like I'm just going to have to get in the altar and pray about it. Take it up with God. Sadly to say, many of you are distressed but won't do anything about it. Some of you are even disguised. You come in here, you look good. Got your good clean clothes on. You look right. You talk right. You look the part in here, but you're still gotten problems. You disguise yourself. You're distressed. Some of you are deceived. Some of you are even delusional. Think you're going to go to heaven whenever you ain't done anything to get there. Preacher, I ain't sinned. I had a lady tell me that one day. She said, I said, what's a beautiful day for the Lord to come back? Yeah, it sure is. I said, well, I'm going to get to go to heaven. She said, you are? I said, yeah. She said, me too. I said, based on what? She said, my good works. I said, your good works? And she said, yeah. She said, I ain't never done nothing wrong. I said, really? I said, I'm a low down sinner. She said, well, I ain't never done nothing wrong. I wanted so much to tell her right then and there. Well, you can start right there. You just told a lie. How about it today? Somebody trying to work their way in. Somebody trying an end game. Trying to get to God by working around him. Ain't going to work.